This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Joy 94.9 presents Absolutely Everybody, sponsored by and presented by Anecto, the People Network. Absolutely Everybody, only on Joy 94.9.
And we had a couple of weeks ago the LGBTI Age and Ageing Conference in Melbourne at the Melbourne Town Hall. And at that conference, one of the speakers was Jill Bowen, who actually was in the police force in Queensland and spoke about her experiences of being in the police force as a lesbian woman and some of the trials and tribulations that she came across. Amy spoke to her.
Thank you all for allowing me the opportunity to share my experiences with you. But members of the broader community, lesbians, have a wide range of life's experiences. I'm 63 years of age, and my working background is predominantly in policing. This is a part of my life story. I came out as a lesbian in my late teens and lived a life whereby my sexuality really wasn't a great issue for me. Then as I became a state public servant and started to attend events like dances and other activities, things started to change. I became more aware of what it was like to be discriminated against. In Brisbane, we had various hotels that we attended. We also had the Camp Club, and for those of you not familiar with the history of the gay and lesbian community, the Camp stood for Campaign Against Moral Persecution. It was worldwide trend in making sure that we were acknowledged following what was happening overseas. As an aside, I'd say that every day, every week when I go into the court to volunteer as a JP, I pass where the Camp Club used to be and now sits one of the Supreme and District Courts of Brisbane. So I must say that I chuckled to myself. The reason I do that is because the police were very active in pursuing us in those days, and they used to sit in Tank Street, just off George Street in Brisbane, and they'd sit their cars in the car for a raid. And when they'd come over, we'd step outside the window onto the awnings and wait. Mainly they were chasing the men because sexual activity between consenting men and private or in public was an offence under the Queensland Criminal Code. We did experience the harassment by police. I have experienced it both external to and inside the job, and it's something that's real. In Queensland, most of the time when we attended functions, as distinct from when I experienced lesbian life in Sydney and in Melbourne, we generally met together with gay men. And then when we wanted to go out for a work function to keep basically quiet, we would take a gay man, and when they needed to go out, they'd take a lesbian. So appear as a straight couple. But the threat of losing one's job was very real. It was in 1973 that I decided to join the Queensland Police. It was interesting. Things went well with my career generally until 1975, when a male colleague came and said, Jill, one of the bisexual police women is reporting you to the boss for being a lesbian. I said, what should I do about that? And he said, don't do anything. We've spoken up for you. Just make sure you keep it in mind. So nothing much happened overtly in regard to my sexuality, but in 1977, I was a detective by then, and I'd done a job where I should have gone to Adelaide for an extradition. It was what was talked about earlier this morning. Sexism was a big issue, and I'm sure you'd be surprised to hear that about policing. Bear in mind, it was the Joe era. So I was to go to Adelaide for this extradition, but the trip was disallowed. They got a boy to go down, a male colleague, I should say, a boy to go down, because, but he hadn't even worked on the case, so not even my colleagues were allowed to go. And at that, I had a gutful. And so I went down and saw the inspector in charge of recruiting, who also did internal transfers, and I said, Inspector, can you get me out of the CIB? So in 1977, I applied for and got a transfer to Inala, which is one of our housing commission areas in Brisbane. Despite the problems of single people, females buying homes, I managed to purchase a house in the outer suburb of Brisbane. And life was pretty good. I was living there with my partner, who was also a policewoman. I was at the Brisbane Coroner's Court waiting to give a bit of startling evidence one morning, and my partner walked out of the lift looking like a spun mother. And because we'd had breakfast that morning and I'd gone off out to an hour and she'd gone into the city with her job, I thought, what's going on? And she'd been called up to the head of the CIB and interviewed regarding our relationship. The interviewer had asked her if she was in a lesbian relationship with me. Of course, she said yes, she was. Various questions were asked about our lives and activities, and she was also asked if her family knew about the situation, and she was then told to come down to the court and get me and bring me back for my interview. She was a bit junior to me, so they picked the weak one first, as you can imagine. After giving evidence on arrival at the CIB, I made some calls to other lesbians and told them what was going on and said, for God's sake, don't come in without a lawyer. Too late for us, but try and protect the others. I was then interviewed and readily admitted my sexuality and said it had nothing to do with my job. I asserted I was more competent and capable than most of my heterosexual workmates. And bear in mind, there were few female police in that era. At this stage, the imbecile interviewing me is nothing. He said, and you smell heterosexual. The bookkeeper who was doing the interview, you might have been the three crooked kings about all our corruption out there. Tony Murphy then said, I've just got to go outside. I think he went out to laugh, his mate, for being such a goose. Anyway, I went through the same process as my partner and I asked them, well, what was the purpose of the investigation? They gave me no indication other than to say others would be interviewed. Seven of us were interviewed. In the following weeks, my partner was transferred to Longreach, which is in central Queensland, in for the case, and I got the startling spot of Mount Isa in northwest Queensland. You might see I've got very fair skin. So when I was talking to some of the senior officers who were a great support to me. Not everyone was homophobic. Not everyone treated us as dunces because we were dykes. Okay, so the one boss who was in charge of actual internal investigations in those days, Ron Donovan, just said, Jill, I refuse to do it. I said, it's none of your business. The other fellow said, Jill, go and get a skin specialist to do it. He can't go to Mount Isa. He and his wife used to come to our home and socialise with my partner and I. And back in those days, 1977, that was a big thing. So off I went, I got my certificate, and all they did then was change the transfer from Mount Isa to Toowoomba, out to the cold country. Not by your standards, possibly. It has snowed in Toowoomba, folks. So, despite my request not to, my partner ended up resigning from the job. She'd been dusted for squad and was currently training as a scenes of crime officer. Great loss to the police. When the transfers first came out, my partner and I were out talking with my sister and brother-in-law about the situation. He said, but they're just mushrooming the situation. He explained that from where he sat, if they transferred one lesbian to Cairns and one to Coolangatta, and their relationships didn't last, their sexuality wasn't going to change. What happens if they caught up with another policewoman? So we had four instead of two. And they said, what happens if they didn't find out about those four and they gave it to me? Toowoomba, Rockhampton and Gympie. And by this stage, my sister and my brother-in-law and my partner and I were rolling around the floating dikes in every station. So I went off to see the Deputy Commissioner, and I said, this is my brother-in-law's scenario for because the lesbians again were running the place by this day, and he looked quite stunned and said, Jill, we didn't think of them. It was a witch hunt, and certainly by the papers.
Joy! The second part of Jill's it's not an interview. It's actually from the LGBTIQ aged care conference, the first one in Australia, that happened just a few weeks ago. And this is the rest of Jill's story.
I continued my career in Toowoomba. I was put into the radio room. Generally, the time in there was about 4 weeks to 8 weeks when you got there. I did 12 months of being grounded. And I went in to see the district officer and I said, "Sir, when does my penance end?" And he gave me some kind of words about my work standards and said to leave it to him. The following roster came out, I was out on the road again, which was a big thing for me. I ended up applying for getting a job in the traffic branch, and after 3 years in Toowoomba, I approached the new deputy commissioner to ask how long I had to stay in Toowoomba. Bear in mind, my house and getting a house was a big thing, but then to have to move out was something else. I put a strong case in for jobs that were coming up near my home. I put in a written application. I said to him, "How about it?" Anyway, he gave me a pat on the head and said, "Yeah, right, no, we're happy with your performance. If you're not happy when the new Gazette comes out, come and see me. But I'd like to transfer to being lady." The independent personal work events sometimes caused me severe angst. In 1990, I was promoted to inspector, and I went to the South Eastern Regional Office at the request of the Assistant Commissioner who'd just been promoted there. He and the Chief Super were brilliant in their support of me. But I had five things against me. One, I was a woman. There were only five of us made up after the Fitzgerald inquiry. And I was the only one that went outside headquarters because I'd been asked to go and sit down there. The other four stayed in the headquarters. Very comfortable. The most junior I was in terms of my years of service. I was a lesbian, I was the youngest in age, and I was the only one with a tertiary education. So what terrible qualities for women I expect that comes town with. And the other thing about me that some people know and some don't is that I am out loud and proud, and I say what I mean and mean what I say because of the wonderful parents I've had who I grew up in loving. Family, they supported me in what I do, all I did at the time. They both passed away now, and I also have wonderful support of siblings. So there's no problem for me. And as I age, I'm going to be one of those bulgy-dites in the nursing home. Some different care. After about a year in the region, I applied for transfer to the police academy. And I subsequently got it, so I was trying to influence some of the young people in the place. And then there was a major effort on to promote people had left after Fitzgerald Commission, and I applied for a superintendent's job in 1992, and I got that first Queensland police woman to be given that rank, to earn that rank. I won't say women have never been given anything. And then they were doing a review of jobs in the police, chief superintendent level, and with budgets and responsibilities, etc. My position was upgraded to chief super. We had to go through assessment centres for 3 days and things like that. It was a very healthy merit-based process, and I got a job, first chief super in the Queensland Police Service. But there was more in store for me. 1993, I got called in to the Criminal Justice Commission for an interview concerning an investigation they were doing at the time. The purpose was to re-interview me about other things, but also the 1977 lesbian investigation. It had been raised by the policewoman who was subject of their inquiry. Interestingly, I'm one of those funny guys, and if I'm upset, I actually get teary. I'm so angry. It gets at me. And I was sitting there, angry as July, and a colleague who was the Assistant Commissioner of Police in there at the time, I said, "Hey mate, what's wrong?" I said, "I've just been interviewed about the 77 lesbian investigation." I was angry. And I explained to him that the CJC had the files. I had never been given a copy of the record of interview taken from me, and nor had my partner. He said, hang on a minute. Went up and saw the chairman, Sir Max Bingham, and next thing he brought back my record of interview. For the first time I saw it and was given a copy of the record of interview, and it was not a true record of the conversation that had taken place. How many years of harassment was I expected to endure? Given my sister had been diagnosed with cancer, there were other issues happening for family in my support group, and I was just over it. It was time to look elsewhere, so I resigned in 1993. What then does this aspect of my life's experience mean to me? It convinced me to speak out rather than to stay silent about many issues that had and would in future confront me. I challenged the Ombudsman on the discriminatory policies regarding the amount of effect single people were funded to take on transfer. We could carry a suitcase where a married couple could take our whole house and fit a pair of knives together. Your whole house wasn't going to fit in a suitcase. I spoke at the Gay and Lesbian Business Association's meeting regarding the members of the lesbian and gay community in the force. I spoke about the disgraceful decisions made by members of the judiciary with regard to rape and sexual offences. So instead of climbing to a hole, the whole process just emboldened me.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.